Before we start the show, I just want to know, have you gone to TrillNBA.com and gotten your copy of The 3-Step Surefire Method to Ask for Help Without Getting Dinged? Have you got your copy yet? Well, if you haven't, you need to. Let me tell you about Julia. Julia writes, "So my review went very well. I've only been in the role for 6 months, so I definitely need help. I used the information on inquiring about leadership style and expectations. I gained so much insight on my boss and how to slay my role. Until that podcast, I would have never thought to ask for help. I would have just thugged it out, but she was impressed and I felt motivated and empowered." Listen, you guys, there is no need for you to thug out your role. All you have to do is go to TrillNBA.com and sign up to get the 3-step surefire method to ask for help without getting dinged. So go forth and prosper, and let's start the show. Welcome to the TrillNBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia M. Rose Anuha, aka the trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, happy May, happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm so excited because episodes this month will feature amazing guests that are killing it in their careers, but have executed passions outside of work to build side hustles. Yay, side hustles. We are also going to discuss tips on how to keep your 9-to-5 while side hustling, and my guest will share their stories and nuggets as you think about juggling a demanding career while birthing a passion project or business. Now, today, you guys, I have a very special guest, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, people I like. Shout out to Amanda Seals. This is a person I not only like, but love. She is the go-to event planner in Chicago, in my humble opinion. Erica Jones launched Elevated Occasions in 2016. She is the owner and creative director. As a lover of design, cuisine, and planning, Erica is excited to help you create memorable events and travel experiences. Known for her meticulous attention to detail and relentless focus on finding unique ways to make an event memorable, clients hire Erica, and I am one of those clients, when they want to make the ordinary extraordinary. She creates not just an event, but an experience. And I can attest to that firsthand. She cannot wait to help bring your vision for a fabulous celebration to life. Erica's background is in marketing and communications. She earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from Princeton. So listen, you guys, she is Michelle Obama material, okay? And an MBA from Duke, which is the Fuqua School of Business. And Erica, you'll correct me if I mess that up. The craziest thing is Erica is fluent in Spanish and she loves to travel. There are so many of us who need to pick up a second language, but this is what makes Erica unique, because she's not only looking at things from just her perspective, she is bringing in all of the perspectives of all the experiences that she's had in her life so far. Now, listen, you guys, when Erica's not working her 9-to-5, she's either traveling, eating, or honing her skills in the event planning arena. And that's what makes Erica Jones my go-to event planner extraordinaire. Erica, welcome to the show.
Hey, Felicia, thank you so much for that great introduction. And I am really excited to actually be on your show and looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. I was so excited when you said you did this because literally I'm like, okay, which one of my friends have really cool side hustles? Is Cinco de Mayo. So I need somebody who cares about putting on parties because to me in the U.S., Cinco de Mayo is a party day. And when I put those two things together, I was like, oh, no brainer. Erica, Elevated Occasions. Let's elevate my podcast. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, this is exciting. And I know we've had a lot of conversations about your podcast and the guests. And I'm like, oh, sounds really fun. I'm like, well, maybe one day I'll be able to be on the show. I don't know.
Yes.
So when I got the call from you, I was excited.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for taking time. I know that it's hard. You are an entrepreneur. You are a full-time marketer at a huge, big old company with lots of marketing stuff. So I want you to start out telling us a little bit about how you got to this point. Like, how did you go from this academic pedigree and you're on the track, right? You went to a good school, a great, phenomenal school. I mean, Michelle Obama went there, right? Great, phenomenal school, undergrad. And then you worked. And then you went to a great, phenomenal school for graduate school, top-ranked MBA program. And then you came out and you work for these Fortune 500 companies. Like, how did you go from the track to, you know what, I'm going to start this whole company because I know I am amazing at bringing events to life. How'd you get here?
Sure. So just a little bit of background on me. I've made a couple of pivots and always tried to follow my passion. So after undergrad, I was actually really passionate about education and felt like people's zip code shouldn't dictate the type of education they should get. So I worked in education reform for almost 5 years before even going to business school. And now I'm in corporate marketing. So a lot of times people are like, wait, you went from helping kids to like corporate marketing. How does that work? But there's a story there. And I was just very passionate about it. But I always had an interest in just like marketing and business and entrepreneurship. And that's why I went to business school and transitioned into marketing within a large consumer packaged goods company because I really enjoy that space. I enjoy food, beverage, lifestyle, and that's why I ended up there. So in terms of the events, though, during all of those years, there's a few things that happened, and I'll kind of bucket them into three categories. First was planning a lot of alumni events for Princeton here in Chicago. The second was planning a lot of birthday celebrations, including my own 30th birthday celebration some years
yes.
ago. And then finally,
I was there.
You know, yeah, you were there. And then finally, you know how like a few years after undergrad, all of a sudden everyone starts to get married and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there was that time period where I ended up helping to plan a lot of bridal showers, bachelorettes, and things like that. And those were sort of the three things I sort of ended up doing for friends and or myself. And then everyone was like, Erica, you're really good at this. You need to get paid to do it. So for example, after the 30th birthday, I planned a big girls trip to Napa. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, Erica, this is a great trip. Like, you need to get paid to do it.
Yes. And then you planned my birthday, which I still owe you for. But I got laid off. So you're like not net 60 days, but like net 4 years or some shit. I'll pay you back. I'm going to pay you for my party. My birthday party. People are still talking about my 40th birthday party. They're like, who did your party? I'm like, Elevated Occasions, man. Elevated Occasions. I mean, you had
fun doing that.
Oh my God. You turned my house into a club. Like, we partied hard in my house with a DJ. I felt like there was lighting or something. I was like, did I buy extra lights? Like, what is this? Like, it was amazing. I fell asleep on the couch from exhaustion because I'm 40. but I had so much fun. Like, the thing about what you do, there's a few people that have this skill, and you're one of them. So, like, when I think about you, I think of you as, like, the next generation of Dave Tutera's. Like, you think about the details in so much thoughtfulness of the actual person that the event is for, that it's like things that I didn't even know I wanted. I wanted when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But even for your own birthday, like, you know yourself, your birthday, I felt like you did that for us and not for you. Like, it was absolutely amazing. And I'm a big picture person, so I really appreciate people who can be that thoughtful and that creative at the same time. And that's what you do different. And that's why I'm wondering, how do you balance all this? Like, when do you sleep?
Yeah. That's a good question. Luckily, I'm a night owl, but I have trouble getting up in the morning. So I still haven't quite mastered it, but I am starting to try to still get up at a consistent time every morning. Mm-hmm. Does not happen every day, but mm-hmm. I'm trying.
Me too, girl. It's okay. Give yourself grace. One thing I'm wondering, Erica, is why you didn't recognize your passion first. Like, why did people have to tell you, like, hey, this is something you're super good at?
I think, you know, when we go to, like, undergrad and in grad school, we spend all this money and time kind of taking this traditional path, right? Like, we're mm-hmm. typically a lot of times maybe the most successful person in our immediate family, right? We're the ones that went to college and graduated and now have graduate degrees or, mm-hmm. or even if our parents had graduate degrees, maybe we're making more money than they did. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I was just always focused on, like, you know, following that traditional career track and always thought of events as just something that was fun that I liked to do, but didn't think I could really monetize it or turn it into a business because that's not what I spent all this time and money doing, right? Like, I'm mm-hmm. corporate, I'm marketing, like, that's what I do. But then I started to realize that I don't have to be in a certain lane. Whereas I think when we go to business school and things like that, or just in general in corporate, you feel like you have to be in a lane. And once I realized I didn't have to be in one lane, I think that's when I was like, okay, I can start my own business too.
I'm so proud of you because it's hard to break from a pack. It's hard to go against the herd. It's hard to create your own lane because there's just so much doubt. We don't have a lot of people that we can touch and, like, see up close that do that. Most of those people, we see them on television. We see them in media, like, we don't really know them. And so it takes a lot of courage to say, you know what, I'm really good at this and I want to try. So in 2016, when you said, I'm going to try to make this business, what feelings did you have, good and bad? As you were, like, those first 6 months when you were like, okay, it's official, this is a LLC, like, this is real.
Yeah, so I was nervous. I felt like I didn't have enough information on, like, how to do this. Like, I felt like I needed some sort of guide or book on how to do it. And I also felt excited, though, too, that I was actually finally doing something instead of just talking about it, because I've been seriously talking about it for maybe 2 years, 2-3 years at least. And then finally in 2016, it was that summer, I actually made it happen. So I'm a very type A person, which I think helps me with event planning, but I always sort of want a guide of, like, this, these are the steps, A, B, C. And with starting a business, I mean, I ended up having to Google and figure out how to, you know, start the LLC, do all these different things. But I just felt on my own, like, I had to do it all myself and figure out how do I do this? How do I set everything up? And it was exciting, but certainly, you know, something I had never done before, which is a little scary.
Yes, I feel you. That's how I feel about this podcast.
Well, it's going well. It seems to be going well so far. So that's great.
I mean, but you know, I ain't made no money from this podcast.
You will.
In fact, I've spent a lot of money making this podcast.
Well, you know what? I can understand because I have also spent a lot of money building my business. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if we invest in our businesses, they will grow and we will reap the rewards that we're seeking.
Yeah. So I think we have about the same timeline because I started the show on a live internet radio show in 2016. No, 2017. I lied. That was 2017, but close enough. So since you started your business, what is the one thing in hindsight you wish you knew at the beginning that you learned the hard way?
So in terms of what I've learned, it would be three things. Time management, separation between your day job and your side hustle, basically your other, you know, entrepreneurial venture. And then there's some nuances with networking that I've also learned that I didn't anticipate. So happy to jump into each of those three.
Yes, we got to, because I can't leave my listeners not knowing. Like, we got to give them the nuggets.
So the first is time management, and this is something, like I said a little earlier, I'm still struggling with. So I have not yet mastered this, but basically with a full-time job, it's not a 9-to-5, right? Like, I work late, right. Mm-hmm. I'm sometimes working on the weekend, I'm trying not to do that as much anymore, mm-hmm. but a lot of times I would just leave it to, oh, when I get home, I'll do something with my business, something, like air quotes, I'm saying that in air quotes. So it wouldn't be, I wouldn't have a plan. So I'm like, oh, I'll get home, I should do something with the business. Let me start working on a blog post, or let me see if I can update some things on my website, or let me figure out how I can reach more clients. But it wasn't very, like, focused. Like, I didn't have an agenda of, okay, on Tuesday, I need to do this. On Wednesday, I need to do that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that's what I need to start doing to really put forth even more effort into this. Because if I just leave it to, oh, I'm going to do something on my business, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, I end up not accomplishing as much as I want to, right? Does that make sense?
Girl, listen, I don't have a 9-to-5 to go to at this moment. And I'm still struggling with time management. And a lot of it is because people pull on your time, even if it's not your job, it's something else. It's your family, it's your friends. And the thing is, people think that I got time for them because I'm not working. And I'm like, actually, I am trying to create right now and trying to work on birthing projects for the world. So I'm technically supposed to be working on my side hustle full time right now until I get another job. And what I find is that people creep in on your time and you get defocused. And so I really, every morning, I set an intention for the day. So if it's getting a chapter done for the book, then that's like, here's my intention for the day. No matter what time I wake up. No, I'm not a morning person either. That's something we have in common. We're night owls. So it's like, before I go to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning, I'm going to have a chapter done today, right? But even still, like today, I was supposed to be writing this afternoon, and then somebody called me, and then next thing I know, I'm over there doing that, like literally leaving my house and going to tend to someone else. And it's like, oh, how do you stay consistent, stay focused, and not feel FOMO for what's going on right outside, and feel like you still have a life, you know, and human contact, and that it's not just your 9-to-5 and then what I call side hustle 5-to-9, which for us right in the work that we do, it's more like 8-to-8 or 8-to-9. And then we're going to work 9 to midnight, you know, and it's like, I think the answer is you just have to put your foot down and make the sacrifice. And planning it out ahead of time, like planning your calendar a month in advance, is so key and so hard.
Yeah, it definitely is. And one thing that I've heard a lot of entrepreneurs talk about, whether it's in interviews I've listened to or reading, is working in your business versus on your business. So when working in my business on like client work, I can define that a little bit more because I'm working against a specific deadline. It's like, okay, we're having an event on XYZ date. I know these are the steps I need to do, but it's like the working on the business, right? Because as an entrepreneur, we are the person doing everything. I'm mm-hmm. the business manager. I'm the webmaster, like right. all these things that I'm trying to do that aren't really in my background, right? Like right. the website. I mean, that in and of itself is undertaking. So it's like Girl. Doing all that stuff and then also working on client work too.
Right. And it can be a lot. It can be a lot. Yeah. So no, you are not alone in that. But now let's dig into, first thing was time yeah. management. And then the yeah. next thing was?
Is the separation of your 9 to 5, 9 to 8, whatever you want to call it, and your business. So I've made a very concerted effort to make sure I try to have that separation. So for example, when I get home after I'm done with work, I shut down my work laptop and I actually have a separate laptop for my business. That said, so here's a funny story. Actually, this reminds me. So I went to like this blogger workshop a few years back, this is before I even started the business. And they were like, oh, bring your laptop. We're going to go through like talk about Photoshop and everything. And I had a different personal computer at the time. I was the only person that didn't have a MacBook. And I felt so uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, so clearly I need to do something a little different because, yeah. So I feel like because it's my creative endeavor, I have the MacBook. And I know it yeah. seems like a small thing, but I think just having that separation, it's like, oh, this is my creative time. This is a different way of thinking, way of working. So that's like something else. It's just kind of driving that separation. And then when I'm at work, I try to focus only on work. You know, lunchtime, maybe I need to take a few calls, but I really try to divide that time out because it's important to have, to not like murky, have murky waters.
Yeah, because you end up just burning the candle at both ends. And you don't get done everything you need to get done because you're trying to do too much. As my grandma used to say, you got too many irons in the fire.
Right, exactly. And then the third one is networking. And I was thinking about this. And so, you know, when you go to business school or whatever it may be, whatever your career profession is, you go to these workshops, happy hours, things, you're sort of labeled by the company you go to and your job function. It's like, hi, I'm Erica, and I work in marketing at this company. And that's you. That's your identifier. That's your lane. When you have a side hustle, it's sort of every event I go to, I have to think about it beforehand. Like, how do I present myself at this event? Like, how do I present myself as a marketer, but then also represent my side passion too? And I find it very interesting at every event I go to, I have to think through what is my, like, essentially my elevator pitch.
Right. So what'd you come up with?
So at most traditional, like, marketing networking events, I do just focus on my day job. But sometimes people start, you know, they start talking about travel or events. And I say, hey, you know what? Actually, I also plan events. I'm really passionate about it. And then I start talking about my business, Elevated Occasions. They're like, oh, really? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, here's a link to my blog post or something like that. So it's interesting how sometimes those conversations just organically come up. Mm-hmm. And then when I go to networking events within the event industry, though, so let's say it's something where I go to a lot of wedding-related events. So it's venues, trying to get brides to book at their venue, and I'm going to check out the venue, connect with vendors. I present myself as an event planner. I mean, and I am. So I say, hey, I'm Erica. I'm an event planner. I'm actually a lifestyle concierge because I do more than events. So I curate unique travel experiences as well as events. And my whole purpose in doing this is to really just elevate the everyday and make the ordinary extraordinary. That's what I do. And
that is what you do.
People see me as an event planner. They don't see me as a marketer. And sometimes it comes up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm also a marketer. Like, I have another job. But it's very interesting how, you can present yourself in different ways depending on the environment. And both are me and both are authentic. You just adapt your message.
Right. And that's key, to be adaptable.
Right. And then also within this event space, the interesting thing is a lot of the people I'm meeting that are other event planners, photographers, et cetera, they are like super, they're young, and a lot of them have never even worked a traditional job. And it's very different for me, because when I'm in the more traditional day job networking events, it's like, oh yeah, everyone went to this grad school or that grad school, worked at this company or that. It's like very traditional. And then when I go to these networking events for a lot of the event planning industry, these are people who kind of just stepped out and did their own thing very early. So there's people who have huge event planning businesses. They're young. They're still in their 20s. And they're further along in their business than I am, because they took a different path. But I'm realizing I can learn something from them, too. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting where in this environment, I'm no longer one of the more experienced people in the room in terms of years doing it, number of clients and things like that, right? Because I've been working for over like 10 years right. in more of a traditional setting. So that's been a humbling experience, and a great experience too, to see. It's inspiring to see people so early in their careers that have taken the jump. Mm-hmm. They've never worked in corporate America. And so I'm like, wait, you never worked in corporate America?
And so they're like, hell no.
No, they're like, oh yeah, I did a couple years, you know, in corporate America, and I started my business. I'm like, wow, that's amazing, you know?
Yeah, that is amazing. And so my question to you is, how do you deal with imposter syndrome?
Well, you know, it definitely is something that is on my mind a lot, because I feel like I'm an event planner, but I'm not really where I want to be in terms of that event and travel, because I do more than events. So, but then I think to myself, okay, well, at what point are you at the point you need to be? Is there a certain number of events? Like, oh, you need to do 20 weddings before you could say this is my primary identity? Or, you know, you have to do 15 birthday parties? Like, is there some magic number? No. So that is something I'm still working through of. There is no magic number. Mm-mm. Or certain metric or number of travel experiences I have to plan. I mean, I've traveled a lot. I've planned a lot of girls' trips. I don't think I can quantify how many until it's like, oh, okay, I'm a travel concierge. Like, no, I'm a travel concierge. This is what I do. And it's just something I have to consciously think about and overcome every day when I go, because I don't think there is a magic number.
No, I think the magic number is the first one you did. Like, I think after that, I think once you form the LLC and then you did your first event, and mm-hmm. there you have it. I'm an event planner. Next event.
Right.
Next right. travel. next project, right? And
yep.
so next client. And like, it's off to the races. And then it's
yeah.
working to maximize your time. And being consistent, and then making a profit, right? And so, and it's just staying diligent. And I think what's hard for me is the consistency. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so the consistency is hard, because it's like some weeks it's like, okay. Like, for example, at the beginning of this year, I was like, oh, I'm going to write a blog post every week and I'm put it out. I got those first few up, and it's been several weeks since the last blog post. So that consistency is definitely something to work on.
Well, do you have an accountability partner?
You know, I don't. I need to get one. Maybe we can be each other's accountability
yes.
partner, Felicia. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But one thing I actually do want to mention, and I actually want to specifically mention this group that's been great for me within the event space, is called the Rising Tide Society. And they have chapters all across the country, but it's just, they have this thing called Tuesdays Together. It's once a month, and they have chapters in different cities, and you meet and connect with other creatives. So those have been very inspiring for me to just kind of like keep going, keep doing this, because there's people in those, in the group. And I was in the group in the city that I was living in at the time, and people at all different stages, people who are just starting, people who've been in it for some years. And that group has been very, very helpful to me and I've learned a lot from them, and everyone in the group has even reached out to me, a lot of them, you know, and helped me with advice, tips, learning, mentoring opportunities, and shadowing opportunities, even within the event space. And so that's actually been really helpful.
That's so key. So Rising Tide Society, I'll put a link in the show notes, you guys, so you can check that out if event planning is your jam and you want to plug into community. And plugging into community is so key. So for me, I am a part of Nikayla Matthews Okome, which, you know, Nikayla's husband, right?
Yeah, we went to Princeton together.
Exactly. So, you know, Moyo, I am in Nikayla's podcast, Moguls Mastermind Group, and that is what keeps me motivated. So we meet once a week online and we support each other and help each other work towards getting our various podcasts and messages out into the world. And consistency is key, right? And so this year, I made a commitment to myself. I said, if you can get an episode out every Sunday in Q1, then you can take your little money over here and you can invest in this more. So I kind of parented myself and I did it. Yeah. And I stayed focused. And so now it's just like, all right, come hell or high water, these people are going to get these corporate nuggets every Sunday. Because I love them and I want them to make corporate America work for them. So,
yeah.
And I try to also stay focused on my why. So do you have a why for Elevated Occasions?
Yes. So, and I'm glad you asked this question, because what I realize is what brings me joy is seeing the light in their eyes and their face light up when they're at an event. Right. When they walk into that room of an event that I've produced, and just to see the joy and excitement on their face, that's what really excites me. That's what I love. When people are like, oh, my gosh, like this food is great, or oh, my gosh, the venue is so beautiful. That is what keeps me going. And what I found is in corporate America within my job, I like what I'm doing. It's great. But I don't have that interaction with the end user.
Right.
I'm not seeing the person who's
at Walmart
my product.
In the aisle. Like, oh, look at this box. Oh, and so exactly. You like, you do packaging, right? Or you do an innovation, but you don't stand there and stalk them in the store.
Exactly. And the only time I see them do this is when I'm at work, you know, innovation, when I'm in a focus group looking at them behind the two-way mirror.
Right.
When I see them, or when I happen to see someone interacting with my product in the real world perchance. But it's like, that's, you know, not consistent. So that what brings me joy is like, for example, Felicia, like when you came to my birthday and you're like, oh my gosh, Erica, this is like an amazing trip. Like the hotel was great. The wine was great. Like, or when you walked into your birthday party and you're like, oh, did I, a flower, or I had a grass wall. Remember, I had like the grass, the wall, kind of like a seven feet. You're like, what? Like, you transformed my house.
Yes. So, and I'm actually tearing up. Yes, I'm glad that brings you joy. But I need you to understand, Erica. Like, I am literally sitting here tearing up because I was in a very dark place during last year. And the only real joy that I had was that night when we were coming from dinner and I walked in my house and I saw what you did for me. And it was one of the few things that I had to focus on last year to keep my hope up. Sorry. It was so beautiful and it made me feel like I mattered. So
it was my pleasure to do that for you, Felicia. Like, I know, you know, how difficult the past few years have been for you.
I just want to say, God has blessed you with a phenomenal gift that means more than what you know. So no matter how difficult working and side hustling gets, please don't give up, because you never know how your gift will impact the people that come into your life.
You know, I lost my dad last year.
Yeah.
And he was always very supportive of my business. And so, you know, it's just a reminder that, like, life is too short.
Right.
And at the end of the day, who cares about, like, the PowerPoint presentation, the this and the that, who work? Like, no one, you know what I mean? When at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. That all that doesn't matter. All the PowerPoint, the Excel, this and that. It's, you're going to remember those moments, those experiences that you had in life. And that's what I want to bring to people. When I do an event, it's not just an event, it's an experience. And I want people to be like 5, 10 years later, like, oh my gosh, I remember that birthday party. I remember that trip we took to Napa, or that time we went to Charleston. Like, that's what I want, because at the end of the day, when you're sick or whatever it is, you're going to be, you think about, like, those great moments you have. And, like, so that was just a turning point for me too last year, just realizing, like, you know what, let me really, like, ramp this up even more and, like, try to get even more serious about it, because it was just a reminder that you got to follow your passion and, mm-hmm. and put yourself first, because at the end of the day, corporation's a corporation and you can enjoy working there, but no one's going to take your interest more serious than you will. And that's why I'm a supporter of having an entrepreneurial venture as well.
Yes. Amen. And I'm an emotional creature, and I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Like, when my mom died, Erica was planning this girls trip after I had gotten a new job. But then shortly after I got a new job, my mom died. And I was like, I ain't coming. Because if you ever lose a parent and you know, like, those first couple of years, hell, like, you never know when grief is going to hit you when you have a loss. And so I didn't want to be at this fabulous girls trip. And I knew it was going to be fabulous because Erica was planning it. I didn't want to be sad around my friends. And I think you and Tiffany Samuels convinced me to come. And I was like, okay. And Tiffany Samuels, she's been on the show.
Yes. And I met her through you.
Yes. And I remember that experience too. And again, slivers of light in dark places. That's what you do, Erica. So I have a couple more questions before we go. So now that you have this growing business and you're working it, because you, like, every year you've done more events. Do the people at work know what you do outside of work? How do you manage that?
Yeah, it depends on who they are, because, you know, there's the people at work that you're, like, kind of cool with, and then there's those where you're like,
yeah,
I don't know. So it's one of those where it's not a secret, so, but it's not something I broadcast. So when I'm at work, I focus on my work. Now, if it's someone who I have a, you know, I'm a little bit closer to at work, and we talk about more than the surface. Oh, how was your weekend? Oh, it was great. Blah, blah, blah. You know, then a lot of those people know. And it has actually helped to inform some things I do at work. So there's been some events I've had to plan at work, you know, retreats, immersions, things like that. And people are like, oh, Erica, this is great. Like, wow, you're really great at this. And I'm like, well, thanks. And actually, I also do this on the side,
right,
you know,
right.
So it's kind of come up in those ways too. So the short answer is yes, some people know, but it's on a need to know basis. And I'm not, like, you know, broadcasting it. And actually did want to just touch on as well how running the event planning business and travel has actually helped me in my day job too.
Really?
So, yeah, because a lot of people may think, oh, like, you know, this is taking their focus away from work. Like, are they fully committed to the company? And are they, you know, is it impacting their work? And it's like, actually, this makes me, I think, a stronger marketer, in fact. And so that was actually a surprising byproduct of doing this. So, for example, I work on innovation, and a lot of times we have to go and search for consumer trends, do food tours. So I've scheduled a number of food tours, for example, for our team in different cities. I've done one in Chicago. I've done one in another Midwest city, and they all turn out really well because, oh, well, I stay on top of the latest restaurant openings and the different food trends. So I was able to work on figuring out where we should go, what food we should taste. And those were really great events that falls outside of like my core day to day, right? But it still helped us as a company uncover some new trends. And I was able to leverage that.
Which allows you to create better products.
Exactly, better products. And then funny story, this is just a little sidebar. So for example, I'm working on a web mobile type of experience for a product. I was working on a web type experience for a product at one point. Mm-hmm. And I was in a meeting with the agency, and we were reviewing kind of like the user flow for the website, right? Mm-hmm. And I had some feedback, a comment. I was like, oh, well, can we have the link go to XYZ and have it so that when you link to something, it drops you down to that spot on the page. So, you know, sometimes you just click a link and then it takes you to like a certain spot on the page. And they looked at me, they were like, how do you know that? Like, because I was like, oh, just put in the code, you just do XYZ. And they were like, oh, how did you know that's how you put in the code? I was like, well, because I built my own website. So
boom.
That's how I know. And not that I'm like, I'm not, first of all, I'm not a web designer. And to be clear, I do not know HTML, but what I did build my own website. I bought a template for like $100, $200, whatever it was like $200. And then I had to customize it.
Right.
So my website came with like a whole like guide on like, hey, if you need to customize this, they tell you how to edit it in the HTML code. And so I picked up some little things here and there. You probably have too, Felicia, because you built your site. I feel, yeah, you pick up some things here and there on how to adjust things on a website. So here I am, the marketer. Again, my lane is marketing. I'm not the tech person, but I was able to, you know, add value. And they were like super surprised.
And see, that's the thing where you can make the side hustle make you even better. And also, I think another thing side hustles do is it helps you to focus and really stay focused at work and not allow like the drive-bys and distractions. Like, you know, like, okay, I got this time to get this done because I got some other stuff I need to do somewhere else, instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to procrastinate because I'll just do it tonight. Well, no, because tonight you got to work on XYZ for your business, or you got to help a client, or you got calls, you know, so you don't really have time to boonjai around, you know, getting stuff done. And so that makes you more productive.
Yeah, it does make you more productive. And another thing, too, is, speaking along the lines of the whole creativity piece, and you know this, at companies, we pay agencies to do our creative, right? So it's like, as a marketer, people are thinking, oh, I'm coming up with ideas. No, I pay an agency to come up with an idea for a package, for a program, whatever, to write the Facebook post or Instagram post, right? But when you're running your own business, I am the creative director. So from my own business side, I'm writing my own Instagram posts, selecting photographers, coming up with the shot list, the look and feel, all of that. So it helps me in my day job because I can now look at things from a different lens. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, oh, I'm the marketer. Remember, I'm not a creative at work. I'm not labeled as a creative.
Right.
But in my side job, I am. Right. So it's always this juxtaposition of like, who am I? What role am I supposed to be playing in this meeting, right? Because it's like I'm a creative, but at work, I'm technically not labeled a creative. There's an agency and there's creatives at the agency and they are the creatives, not me.
Right.
So that's also been interesting. And then even as you know, also interacting with your consumers, right? So for mm-hmm. example, even with your show, like you're probably interacting with consumers on Instagram, yep. et cetera. You're directly replying to them, mm-hmm. right? You have that, to go back to what I said before, that interaction with the end user. It may not be, you know, you're not in a room with them, but you are interacting with them via emails, via, you know, social media. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the day job, I'm so many steps removed. Like we put our posts out there and I'm not managing our Facebook account or Instagram account in my day job. There's someone who's designated to reply back to consumers and it's not me.
Right. Because you have other stuff to do. Like you can't, you wouldn't be able to do all those things. And that's the great thing about working in a big company. You can focus on your lane. But what's cool about having a creative side hustle, being a marketer, is that I feel like now when I lead agencies, when I go back into corporate, I will be better at it. I'll have more empathy. I'll have a better lens on how to give them feedback. And even I'll be able to write better creative briefs because I can think through just the task at hand and not be so big picture that I'm not communicating correctly to them what I need to see from them. Because even though the briefs are templated and they should be straightforward, a lot of times we use language that isn't. And I think by having a creative side hustle and knowing what works in a Facebook post now, because I have to do it myself, knowing you know, how to create better copy for the Facebook post, because I had to learn, you know, now I can think about from a brand equity standpoint, how do I communicate what I'm trying to get out of the agency? And I can do that better now because I know what it takes to create that copy. I know what it takes to make the image for the post. And it just gives you a leg up, actually.
Right. And even like, so for example, your podcast, you have sponsors and companies you're working with, like you now know from an influencer point of view best practices for what an influencer wants with working as a with a brand, right?
Exactly.
So again, then when you're on the flip side and you're the brand trying to find influencers and work with them, you're coming at them from a different perspective, and that's the same thing that I now see. You know, as a marketer, I now have a totally different look at how at influencers and how. And I work on innovation right now, but, you know, when I would be back to a, you know, more of a comms type role, communications, I know a little bit more about how I would want to work with influencers and take that approach because I'm an influencer within my elevated occasions realm.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, it's just very interesting.
So where do you see yourself career-wise in the next 5 years?
So I still see myself in the next 5 years in a corporate type job. It could be marketing or something a little more broad, like maybe more of a strategy, general management, where I'm still able to lean in and leverage my marketing, but also round it out. I then see still having elevated occasions as well. At that point, I would think I'd have a team or people who could help to run the day-to-day so that I can still, you know, focus on the corporate job, but then also have elevated occasions and be able to do even more events and travel experiences, but have specific team members that can produce events or kind of do a lot of some of the work that goes into those as well, so that I can focus more on like the creative vision, and then they can help with the implementation on it. So that's the way I see it, where I still have a corporate job, but Elevated Kitchen has grown. I have a bit more of a team so that I can continue that balance, because as I advance in my corporate career, it's going to continue to be more demanding. I'm going to have more, I'll have, you know, more stakeholders at work and direct reports and things like that. And so I think the only way to be able to balance that type of demanding career and elevated occasions would be to ultimately, you know, hire at least one or two staff members or some part-time assistant or something to help.
Yes. And I know many Davids. I'm just going to call you little David Cetera. I know that is exactly where you're going. So will you commit to try to get to the C-suite?
Yes.
Yay! Man, because you know we need... That's my sole goal. I'm like, look, y'all can have all the side hustles y'all want, but I need some of y'all to get to these C-suites and these big-ass companies. That's what I need. So y'all can help pull up the next crew. And you ain't got to stay there that long. You just need to get there long enough to get a good pipeline behind you. And then you can say, saranara, and you made it and you did it. Because it is going to be a lot of work. But I firmly believe as you move forward in your life and then, you know, personal life happens, you get married, you have kids, all that stuff. I really, truly believe, Erica, that you can have it all. You can have this business flourishing and thriving off of your talent and your gifts in that space. And I also believe you can have a very successful career. Like, I totally see you as a CMO. I totally see you growing into that because, one, you have a leader's heart. Like, you have a heart-led leadership. You care about people. You care about consumers. You like to see things done right, meaning with integrity and character. You're a fair, very fair person. You're very diplomatic, very thoughtful. So anywhere you want to go, Erica, you got this. Like, totally. Like, even if you doubt yourself sometimes, trust me, you got it. I mean, you went to the same university as Michelle Obama. Come on. and you're from Chicago.
I appreciate all of your support. I appreciate all of your support over the years. I mean, Felicia, you're definitely, you know, one of my biggest fans and supporters. And you know, I've planned multiple events for you, whether it was the Girls Weekend in Chicago or your 40th birthday, and you've attended many of the events that I've planned, birthdays and weddings,
and they have been amazing every time. And every time, it's funny because every time you surprise me with something, and I'm like, and I keep thinking, like, why? You know, Erica is about to do the damn thing. Why are you surprised? But every time, I'm like, oh, look at that! Every time, it's just always a sight. So now I just look forward to, okay, how you gonna razzle and dazzle me today? Like, I had so much FOMO the other day when I was looking at your social media feed and I saw those pictures from the spring event you just had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, the Hello Spring event.
Yes. And I was like, well, why didn't she tell me? I would have flew to Chicago. I would have come. And like, I literally was going to leave some kind of message and I was just compelled to call you. I was like, I don't know. She might be busy, but I'm going to call her and tell her how amazing that looked. Like, it looked like fun and amazing. The food looked amazing. Like, everything just always looks amazing. And I'm just like, I would have flew for that. So when you're doing these pop-up events in Chicago, I need you to let me know because I love to experience elevated occasions. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And so next time, I'm sorry about this time. Next time, I will be sure.
Yeah. Don't let me have to find out on Instagram. Okay.
Yeah. As long as it's not an event in Chicago in the winter, right?
I will come to an elevated occasion in the dead of Chicago winter. And you know, as a Southern girl, I hate snow, but your events are so amazing that I will come in the cold to come to an elevated occasion.
That's good to know. And as you know, I travel to do events as well. So
yes.
I'm always happy to do events in warmer places.
Right.
In during the polar vortex.
Well, Erica, thank you for first your vulnerability. Thank you for being my friend. Yes, you guys, we are friends in real life. That's not always the case with all of my guests, but Erica and I used to work together and we go way back. Thank you for supporting me, the podcast. Thank you for being a Black woman in corporate America, doing the damn thing and being an example and giving back to your community. And just tonight, you were at an event for MLT. So yeah. I really appreciate the human that you are. We're going to follow your journey with Elevated Occasions on this podcast. So in like 6 months, we're going to do a check-in and see where we are with our businesses. So we will be accountable to each other in between time, and then we'll come back and we'll tell the listeners whether we were good or whether we were not so good. Like, we'll give each other, like, we should do like an end of year review or whatever they're called.
Yeah,
they're called
different things. An end of year review.
Yes. So this, we'll just call this our mid-year check-in.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, we'll give ourselves an end of year review as side hustlers. And we'll see where we are. And we'll share with you guys. And we'll keep it trill.
Yes, we will keep it true. And one thing I want to add that I certainly think is important, of course, read your company policy about having side hustles, other businesses, et cetera, to be sure that everything is cool.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I'm a rebel.
Yes.
So I don't recommend that you not read your corporate policy like I did. I recommend you do what Erica did and read your company policy around having side businesses and make sure that you understand before you get into any side business and then there's a conflict. Or the other thing you don't want to have happen is that you do something on the side using the skills that you use at your job and you create something. And then your company's like, oh, yeah, we own that. See this company policy? Yeah, that's ours. Thanks. And then you've done all this work for not yourself. So be careful as you're launching your side business and creating a fruitful, upwardly mobile career that you play the game. All right. Erica, any other last words of advice before we go?
I would just say, listen to podcasts, which I don't have to tell you that, but for the listeners, like, honestly, listening to podcasts over the last 2 years is also one of the things that's given me the courage to really lean into my business. So with work, I had a long commute from my home to the office, and I never really listened to podcasts. Until like a couple of years ago. Like, I have the app on my phone, but I never clicked on the app. And I started listening to it and, to different podcasts related to entrepreneurship. And that really inspired me in terms of hearing the stories of other entrepreneurs, whether it was the women who created those podcasts that I listened to and or their guests. And that, honestly, just hearing how everyone's stories and like how they've been incorporated or got laid off or were unhappy in their job, whatever their story, it's been so inspiring. So that's one thing I can recommend. Like, definitely podcasts have helped, and there's several on my like roster of podcasts that I enjoy.
Well, tell us some. Don't just leave us hanging.
Okay. So I love Side Hustle Pro.
Yes. And shout out Nikayla.
Yes. I've been listening to Nikayla for a while since her first episodes. I also really enjoy a podcast, the Goal Digger podcast, G-O-A-L Digger with Jenna Kutcher.
Yes.
That one's great. And there's another one called Courage and Clarity that I enjoy. And then finally, one called Online Marketing Made Easy with Amy Porterfield. And of course,
yes,
of course, the true MBA show with Felicia A. Newha.
Thank you, Boo. I appreciate that. I'm going to put links to all of these shows in the show notes. So I want you guys to check out those podcasts, especially if you're side hustling. These are really good. I do listen to all of those, except for I haven't heard of the Courage and Clarity. So I'm going to look up that one. I love to learn about new podcasts. So yes, you guys, Erica, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been amazing. I love you forever. You can't get rid of me now. You're stuck with me. And before we go, can you tell my listeners how they can connect with you?
Yes, they can connect with me via Instagram. And my handle is Elevated Occasions. And on Facebook, the same, Elevated Occasions. And then also on my website, where I have some fun blog posts and just more information about what I do and some recaps from past events. And again, the website is elevatedoccasions.com.
Yes. And anyone around the U.S. and you have an event or a special occasion that you want to take to the next level, like you want to elevate your occasion, please reach out to Erica. She creates the most amazing events. This is her gift. Dave Tatera, who? I love Dave Tatera. He's my favorite. But Erica's coming for Dave. That's all I'm saying. All right, you guys. And as always, if you need some help or advice about specific situations, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. Now, that's my gift, to help you get through the sticky situations. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you with the right person if I don't have an answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me, or hit me up via email, ask@trillmba.com. So until next time, you guys, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia Ann Rose Anuha. Music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.